every single one of us. I don't care who you are. I've learned in my lifetime that everyone is dealing with something, and people are carrying things that only Jesus can bear. Some things in your life that you're holding on to that you need to let go. And let God carry the load. Let Him carry the burden. Let Him ease your burden. Jesus said, "My burden is easy and my yoke is light. Come take upon me, you know, my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden light." So we need to let God and let Christ handle some things that we can't handle. We hold on to it, try to handle it ourselves, and normally we may not make a mess of things, but we make a mess of ourselves. Our faith is challenged, and it weakens us because we're holding on. We're trying to fix some things we can't fix, but God can fix them. Because we can't bear the weight of it, oftentimes we try to medicate it, refudiate it, and sedate it, and it don't work. And oftentimes people have problems and challenges in their life, and they will try to medicate that thing. That's why we have an opioid crisis in America. And Oklahoma is one of the, have one of the biggest crises for opioid use. Drug use or over-the-counter drugs in the nation, Oklahoma, state of Oklahoma. God's country. You know, if God would choose a state to live in, Jesus, would it be Oklahoma? That's how I feel about Oklahoma. I don't know about you. I love this state. It's my state. It's where I was born, raised, and I love Oklahoma. But we try to do that. When we try to sedate it, people take sleeping pills and this and that, and it don't work. It just don't work. And so we need to give our burden. The only way to get the healing we need is to give our burden, our pain, and bring it into the light. Jesus is the light. We need to bring it to Jesus. You see, only the devil can operate in darkness. But Jesus is light. Light always drives away darkness. Always. Darkness can never drive away light. If there's light, there's no darkness. And we need to drive it away, drive away Satan, drive away the darkness, drive away Satan and the devil. Same person, by the way. However, when the light of Jesus exposes him, his hands become tied, and he has no choice but to flee. So I want to give you a few strategic things to do today to break the strongholds of the Satan that's holding you back. I got six things that I want to give you and some scripture to go with it that'll help you break the strongholds of Satan that are holding you back. How many feel like you're being held back by something? How many carrying any pain? Anybody? Nobody here got any pain? Nobody going through something? Everybody's going through something. Everybody's carrying something. And I think we need past time, that we give it to the Lord or learn how to break those strongholds that are holding us back. Number one, you need to understand you have authority. Authority. We have the right to use the authority of Jesus' name. In His name, and take authority over the devil's activities. Mark 3:27. It says this, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house." We need to learn how to bind or speak or command to the devil to go in the name of Jesus. We have the authority in the name of Jesus to bind him. Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I demand in His name that you loose your hold. There's nothing wrong with taking authority. You have the authority in the name of Jesus. You're not using your name. Your name doesn't have any power. Oh, it might with your children, but it don't with the devil. Unless you're being backed up with the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Jesus gives us that right, that authority to use His name, to speak or command the devil to go. Look at Mark 16:17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, in Jesus' name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." What are we going to do? We're going to bind the enemy and we're going to cast him out. Why? Because Christ Jesus gave us the authority to bind the enemy, bind Satan, and tell him to go. That you have no place here. We sing a song sometimes. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. I don't want him under my feet. He may reach up and grab my ankle. I want him to go. And that's a good song to say because he's under, we're trampling. We're got him under our feet and we're kicking him. Whatever. We need him under our feet, yes, but after we get through beating him up real good, kicking him in the ribs, blacking his eye and bloodying his nose, we need to say, now devil, get up on your feet and go out that door and leave my house and leave my children, leave my workplace, leave my family alone, leave my church alone. You have no place here. I'm not giving you any place here. I'm taking authority in the name of Jesus. And Satan, his name says, by his name and his authority, I can tell you, leave. But what do? We pat him. We give him candy. We give him M&Ms out of the office. I have gave a few little devils M&Ms out of my office, by the way. They were y'all's little devils. I gave them to them to get them out of my office. I'm just kidding. We have authority in the name of Jesus to command the devil to go. That don't mean you're not going to be buffeted. That doesn't mean you're not going to have some issues. But you have there's no reason to constantly be in need or constantly being buffeted by Satan. You're going to be tried. The trying of your faith worketh patience. You're going to be tried at times. But don't let him keep you there. Recognize what it is and put him to flight. Secondly, there's intercession. We need to come together with other believers and agree to intercede against strongholds. We need to intercede together. Wednesday night we gathered here as a group of people and we interceded for our children. We had all of them that were here, most all of them were here, and we gathered them up and brought them up to the front, the ones that would come. And we laid hands on them, prayed over them, and expect victory for them. And expect some things to change in their lives because we prayed over, we interceded together with them. But we are to intercede together against the strongholds of the enemy. Look at Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, this is Jesus. I say to you that if you two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. If we'll agree. So that means we come together in intercessory prayer and we agree together to bind up the enemy. We agree together that this is going to happen. We bind together to bind up Satan and his works and his helpers over our family. We bind them. We agree to do that. That's why intercessory prayer is very important, that we pray one for another. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. It also says pray for them who are the household of faith. We're to pray one for another. Your job, your ministry, if you don't have anything else to do, you need to pray one for another and intercede on behalf of one another. You know some needs that's in each other's lives, and you need to pray and bind together, agree together. That's why sometimes some people come to prayer and say, well, pray for this. I don't lay hands on them. I say, give me your hand. And in the name of Jesus, we bind it. And we pray for it. Where two or three agree together, touching anything in his name. So I bind with them. I agree with them that this is going to take place. And you need to learn to do that also. You don't always need oil. And you don't always need a preacher. But you need to bind together and agree to pray one for another for different situations. Maybe you have a wayward child, or maybe you've had a wayward child, and you know someone that has a wayward child. So you go to them and say, this is what God did for me, and I want to agree with you, if you will, that God will do this for you, that He'll deliver your child from the snare of the fowler. He'll deliver your child from drug or alcohol addiction or sexual promiscuity. He'll deliver your child and set them in a good place. But you see, oftentimes we can't do that because, first off, we don't come to church to hear a message similar to this. So we don't learn about it. And then we stay at home and we waller in our self-pity because God's not doing anything for me, but then I hear He's done it for them over there. Why is that? Because them over there came to church over here. And them over there came together and they agreed, touching this thing, that God would deliver it, and God did it. But then you're sitting at home wondering, why don't God do that for me? Because you didn't come together with them over there. You stayed home and wallered in your self-pity. And wondered, why doesn't God help me? Why doesn't God move for me? Because God's waiting on you to take that step towards Him and become faithful. Amen? So we intercede together. And then we need to fast and pray. What's that do? Intensifies your faith. Look at Matthew 17, verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast them out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. However, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Well, why can't I have the faith I need? Why can't I see it done? Because Jesus said, if you want to see that kind of faith released, you have to pray and you have to fast. So why did we expect something to happen last Wednesday night? Because we called a corporate fast. We called a corporate fast. Not a fast from our radio, not a fast from our TV, not a fast from our electronics, but a fast of food. A biblical fast so that we might see strongholds broken in the lives of our young people and see things dramatically and supernaturally change in their lives. And it wasn't going to happen unless we prayed and we fasted. Sometimes we need to learn to fast and pray. Why can't I get my breakthrough? You haven't fasted. You haven't been praying. You've just been hoping, and that's all you've got if you don't do it the biblical way. It's just a hope and a prayer. I know hope maketh not ashamed. That's what the Bible says. But if you want God to move miraculously in your life, then begin to practice fasting and praying. Then you'll see things happen. Amen? Amen. Intercession. Make an intercession. Then there's displacement. Number three is displacement. We need to displace the devil with the presence of God. The devil can't stay where there's spirituality, where there's real true godly spiritual move, real godly spiritual move. He can't stay there. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. The enemy cannot hang around where people are lifting up Jesus in worship. That's one of the reasons worship's so important. Sometimes when I'm down or feeling a little bit out of sorts, none of y'all ever feel a little out of sorts, do you? I can tell by the goofy grin on some of your faces, although you're not admitting it, you're telling off on yourselves. We all feel out of sorts, but I've learned that when I'm out of sorts, first off, get away from my wife. I'm just kidding. If I get by myself and I start praising the Lord, sometimes it's a loud praise, sometimes it's a silent praise, sometimes just a soft praise. If I start praising the Lord, just start praising the Lord. Start singing a song of praise. And it ain't pretty sometime, well, most of the time. If I start praising the Lord, just worshiping Him, Lord, I love You. When I come to praise Him, out there in the middle of the pasture, just riding on my tractor, looking at my cows, I praise You, Lord. I start praising the Lord. Things, my outlook, my spiritual outlook changes. It does a shift. And things look different. Why? Because I am displacing the devil with the presence of the Lord. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so the enemy can't come out of ground where people are lifting up Jesus in worship. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? In other words, If you're the light, don't go to the dark. Don't put your light out so you can be in the dark for a while. Begin to praise the Lord. There's light there. The light shines. You may be doom and maybe doom and gloom. It may be dark in your area. But when you begin to praise the Lord, freedom comes and Satan leaves because he's been displaced. He no longer has authority. He no longer has a place. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. And so you displace him. Devil, you have no place in my home. You have no place in my life. You have no place in my mind. You can't have my mind. You can't have my home. You can't have my children. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to give him thanks for all things and everything give thanks for. This is the will of God concerning you. So I'm going to begin to praise the Lord. And devil, I'm not going to give you any place to be because where the Lord is, there's liberty. So I'm going to praise him. And all of a sudden, I'm going to feel some liberty. I'm going to get loose here. If you ain't careful, I'm going to go to shout right here in the middle of this cornfield. I'm just going to shout a little while. And when I shout, you're going to be rest assured, devil, that Jesus is coming around. The Holy Spirit's going to be here. And you don't have no place to stay. So start praising the Lord. When you feel down, praise the Lord. When you're disturbed, praise the Lord. When the kids are acting up, praise the Lord. When mama ain't treating you right, praise the Lord. You don't get your way, praise the Lord. It'll change your attitude. And then when you finally grow up, you realize mom and daddy's right anyway. If you ever grow up. I was probably lucky I grew up. Probably good. That's probably fortunate mom and dad didn't take me out. You ever told your kids that? I brought you into the world, I can take you out. Amen. I didn't mean it, but sometimes I wanted to. Ain't that right, Missy? That wasn't her. Yeah, right. Wasn't you. No. Hey, I didn't mean it, but you know, you get angry. So you just begin to praise the Lord and get things right. And you know what? When you do get angry for no reason, the Bible says be angry and sin not. There is anger that's righteous anger. When you're angry and you shouldn't have been angry, you need to repent. Don't hang on to it. Don't blame others. Take responsibility for your own actions. Quit blaming others because you got angry. It may be their fault you got angry. Don't blame them. Blame yourself for letting them get under your skin. It's hard sometimes. I know it's a different subject, but I'm going to tell you, displace the devil. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? We should not have any communion, no fellowship with darkness, with Satan. Do not give him place. Give no place to the devil. Authority, intercession, displacement. Huh? That's part of intercession. Well, okay. I want y'all to get things right here. But whatever number you want on it, I'm going to my number four, and it's resistance. Fast and pray were a part of number two. I can't help if y'all's confused. I ain't giving no place to the devil in here. Y'all straighten up. I'm on number four. It's called resistance. And I'm resisting this spirit in this church right now. Oh, now we ain't going back to that. We done finished with that. I don't know where you're at. That's under displacement. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Okay. Number one is authority. And that's Mark 3:27 and Mark 6:17. Okay. Speak and command. Intercession is number two, Matthew 18:19. And then prayer and fasting is Matthew 17:19-21. That's part of intercession. Okay. Number three is displacement. You displace the devil with the presence of God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And 2 Corinthians 6:14, what fellowship has light with darkness? Okay. Or righteousness with lawlessness. Are we back on, sort of on the same page? All right. Number four. Resistance. I'm feeling it. I'm about to lose my train of thought. It's going to be a bad wreck. Submit yourselves and draw close to God. You see, the devil runs from a submitted, yielded Christians who pray, fast, and worship and humble themselves before the Lord, who follow and obey God's word. He cannot stay near that. He runs from it. So we resist him. He resists us trying to get to that place, but we resist him by praying, fasting, worshiping, and humbling ourselves to follow and obey God's word. Look at James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. What does he do? He runs. He flees, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. But I just leave that up there. Submit. See, we like to quote that scripture, but we leave out the first part usually. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Right? It is scripture, but it's part scripture. Unless you submitted to God and humbled yourself before him to follow and obey his word, you can't resist the devil. You're trying to do it in the flesh. You've got to first submit to God. You understand? Submit to God, and then you resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Many people try to do it in the flesh. They like to quote, devil, the Bible says, I'm to resist you. Well, it's hard to resist him when we haven't submitted to God and his authority. Because then the devil, he's wily. He's a wily coyote. Very wily guy. And he's not near as inept as wily as that coyote on that Roadrunner show. He is a lot more devious than that fella. And he's a lot more successful at confusing Christians because they have partial knowledge of the Word of God. Because they haven't submitted to the will of God and the Word of God. So they can't resist him like they should. And so they get confused and the devil drops that safe on their head. Right? And they don't escape it. It gets them right on the top of the head. And then they're wondering, where was God at in all this? Well, God was saying, if you'll submit to me and my authority and follow my word and be obedient to what it says, then when that coyote tries to drop that snare or set a trap for you, you see it, I help you avoid it, and then you grow spiritually. We have to submit to God, so then there's resistance when we do that. And obey God's word. Then we can resist the devil, and he has to flee. See, understand this. He's already a defeated enemy if we'll just follow the word of God. Now I'm not standing up here as an authority or somebody who has it all together. I'm as human as you are, and I deal with the flesh as much as you do, and maybe sometimes more. Because he would like nothing better than to get me to fall. He'd love, after 27 years of full-time ministry, for me to have a failure somewhere. It would destroy a lot of people. So I have to be very cautious and very aware of what's going on in my life. So I have to follow what the Word of God says myself to protect my family and protect my spirituality, just like you. And then there's an occupation, number 5, I believe it is. Might be number 6 or 7 on y'all's page, but it's number 5 on mine. I don't know. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. So once he departs, we have to fill the void with God. So we need God to occupy that empty place. Understand? Everybody's heart, everybody says there's a God-shaped form in every place in everybody's heart. Well, we need to fill that with God. Let righteousness be the standard of your rules and your behavior. In other words, let the word of God rule you. Don't wink at sin. Too many times the church has winked at sin. We've had people living together and we just kind of wink at it and say, well, we don't want to hurt their feelings, so we're not going to say anything. When the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's the 4th or 5th chapter, says Paul was talking about a grievous sin in the church. Fact is, it was a son sleeping with his stepmother. And the church had refused to deal with it. Read the story. It's in there. It's like, oh my goodness, something like that's in the Bible. Yeah, you ought to read it. It's right there. And Paul said, I'm more angry at you, the church, than I am at the couple that's living in sin. Because you, the church, should have expelled them. You should have exposed them. You should have made them leave the church. You should have excommunicated them so that they would come to their senses and possibly repent. But instead of doing that, you just winked at it. And the whole city, and this was a very pagan city, the city of Corinth, and said, even they know what they're doing is terrible. Even they don't do that. But yet it was in the church. Read it. It's in there. So we got to be careful that we don't wink at sin. We have to hold a righteous standard, a standard equal to, and but not above, the Word of God. In other words, don't impose standards and call them biblical if it's not the Word. Because we had standards that were above what the Word of God says. But we got to align with the Word of God. Actually, I'd rather go above the Word of God as to go beneath it any time, wouldn't you? But we need to give no place to the devil and let righteousness be the standard and occupy us. We don't want to give an inch to the devil in rebellion, corruption, or immorality because where he can find refuge and rebuild his, because that's where he can find refuge and rebuild his strength. If we let down the standard, it gives him an open door or at least a crack in the door to come in. When we let down the standard. So, well, I can, you know, Pastor, that might bother you and that might be a hindrance to you, but it doesn't bother me. Well, you've opened the door and you've left a crack and the devil's come in and now he has confused you. He has deceived you. You gave a place to him when you should have occupied that with the Spirit of God. You should have let God, you should have filled that void with God and with the Holy Spirit. And instead you, a little bit of rebellion snuck in, a little bit of corruption came in, a little bit of immorality crept in. And now the devil found a refuge and he's beginning to rebuild his influence and his strength in your life. Look at Ephesians 4:27. What'd that say? Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him any area to come in and occupy any part of your life. 1 Corinthians 9, I believe it is, in verse 1. Give no, it says, let me turn over. I want to read that correctly. See if it might be 2 Corinthians. Probably is. It is. I think it's 9, but I might be wrong. Nope, I'm wrong. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to go there, but I haven't got there yet. I'm probably wrong. I can't find it. Casting, where it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that will exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ and bringing every thought into captivity. And it might be 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Is it chapter 2 Corinthians? Yes, sir, you're good. It is 2 Corinthians. Okay, I was correct, except I got the chapter wrong. I'm going to read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, what verse, Doug? Nope, that's not it. Oh, we're going to try 10 now. We're going to double it. Yeah, that's it. That's one of them. That's it. Thank you, Doug. Give credit where credit's due. I knew it before he did. No, I'm kidding. Doug, help. Thank you, Doug. Here's what it says. So though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to reveal all revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do not look on things after the outward appearance. If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. Now he goes on to talk about his authority, but you understand we are in a warfare and we can't let anything corrupt slip into our minds. Cast down every imagination and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ. How do you do that? Well, you fortify yourself. Number 6 is fortification. You fortify yourself. You clothe yourself with God's armor according to Ephesians the 6th chapter. You clothe yourself with God's armor. And so if you do that, you take up daily the full array of God's armor in your life. And that way you maintain a battle-ready status. See, there's no place to put that off. No place to take it off. So boy gets old carrying that armor. Yeah, but that armor is your protection. It's also your battle armor where you can move forward in Christ. You don't want to take it off. Yes, it may get a little weary carrying it sometime, but you keep on, you stay battle ready. You're always going to have battles, so you stay battle ready. It says this in chapter 6, verse 13 through 17, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And he goes on to say, "Praying always with all prayer, with supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And so he says, you keep on the armor of God, because you're fighting, you're wrestling against, not against flesh and blood, but spiritual principalities, powers of darkness, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. So you keep on your armor. You fortify your spiritual man. Do you understand? We got to do that. You will be ready, if you'll do this, to resist any satanic assault. And you'll be ready to engage the strongholds that come against you. You'll be ready. But you got to keep the armor on. I want you to be victorious Christians. Everybody faces something. Everyone is dealing with something. But this is how you can be an overcomer. This is how you can win the fight. If you'll do these things. So I want you to do that. You got it? If you put on the whole armor of God, you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I hope you got it. If you got it, you'll get it. You'll make it. You'll make it. I want you to make it. But I tell you, it's a fight to be fought. There's no place to quit, no place to relax, no place to rest. Even when you're on vacation, you got to keep on your armor. I don't care if you swim in the ocean. It might get rusty, but keep it on. Come out, put some WD-40 on. That works miracles. I'm serious, guys. It sounds funny, but keep the armor on. Don't lay it aside for any moment of time. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready so that you can be victorious, because everybody's dealing with something. And this is the way to be an overcomer. Just these six things, six simple things, and you can be an overcomer. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand with me.